SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Thursday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website too, SteveBick.com. And, well, obviously we've got as big a Saturday as you could want, expect, hope for, wish for, whatever. The depth of Saturday. And I told you on Monday, I was already looking forward to the Wednesday draw day. The cards, they start to come out. Aqueduct, Tampa, and we have to wait fairly late for the racing office at Santa Anita to put together their card. But when they did, we'll start there. It is so terrific. And, we already knew who the stake participants were. We went over them with John White and the Kilrobe, having got Stormy and all the local horses. You knew that was going to be entertaining and compelling. But the fill in the blanks, everything else, the listed China Doll, big full field, 14, miscellaneous allowance activity, big full fields. It's the best card of the year at Santa Anita. The Big Cap and the San Felipe ended up with actually more, and not just more, but some interesting additions. And the Big Cap ended up with a field of eight, including, of course, the Invaders from the East. Hofburg for Bill Mott. As Bill Mott now, rolling out the trio of last year's and the last couple of years, nice three-year-olds. And Hofburg with his second start, the mine shaft didn't go great, but he'd been away a good 7-8 months. So you figure he's tighter for this spot. And of course, Hidden Scrolls performance going back to Sunday, his comeback race was really strong, and some big things I think can be expected from him. And you heard Andy talk about Tacitus and the horse that people seem to love to beat up on, but Tacitus goes on to the Dubai World Cup. Kieran McLaughlin, who obviously now with the story out and about, came to full bloom yesterday. Kieran stepping away from his great training career to go back to one of his previous jobs. For people that don't remember that, after he left D. Wayne, he was Chris Antley's agent for a period. And the opportunity to, be honest, take it easier and handle the book of Luis Saez, I think it's perfectly logical, and we'll get a chance to not just talk to Kieran about everything. He's got plenty of, he's got some horses that are being, dispersed here and there, but he's got some opportunities this month. Don't think he's not going to go out with a flourish, because he's got some opportunity, including endorsed running in the Big Cap. And to pause for a second, the focus on Kieran, understandably, with this career change. But let's also appreciate Richard DePass, as DePass's career ends, first as a rider and then for an extended period as a terrific jock agent. And he represented Luis Saez all through this period of ascent. And he's one of the, you know, the really interesting and fun people to encounter on the racetrack, Rich DePasse. And we talked to him last year, you'll recall, at Belmont, leading up to Belmont Stakes. And, you know, he had not really publicly commented about what transpired in the Derby, but was as gracious and professional and stoic about it, despite the frustration and the, you know, disgust over the over the way things went. So, you know, in sort of the interest and excitement about Kieran, want to also appreciate Rich DePasse and his, you know, his career in the game as a rider, and of course comes from the island, and he I think is pretty famous for saving money. I don't know how many checks Rich DePasse picks up at big dinner parties, but I think he's put away quite a bit of money, and lives cautiously, and of course a hell of a payday from last week, and it's not a Derby, you know, but it's as someone, I was right. That's what I thought. Somebody just texted me, the pass is tighter than a dead heat. Oh, I love it. I love it. That's a great line. Yeah. I think he's just, you know, it's a tough life. Chasing after the back stretches and, you know, moving with, especially when you have a top jock, because you're going from Kentucky, you're coming from New York, you're going down to Florida, it's a tumultuous it's a grind. I mean, don't kid yourself. It's great. Everybody loves being in the game and being around the game, but it's hard work. Don't kid yourself. So the card in California, absolutely spectacular, and going to be, you know, as the action moves from east to west, it's going to be a great way Saturday afternoon into the early evening. And let's see, just and of course there's going to be some of those broadcasts. So, but the feature races, both the San Felipe and the San Felipe is a little earlier. San Felipe goes at 6 o'clock Eastern time as the eighth race, and the Big Cap goes at 7 o'clock as the 10th, and then there's an 11th and allowance. So the races that as part of the NYRA America's Day at the Races broadcast, we'll figure out what that schedule is going to be. Speaking of NYRA, speaking of New York, the card there anchored, of course, by the Gotham and the Tom Fool, as well as the non-graded Busher for the girls. And we've also got the Stymie, the good mile event. So a excellent 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, all stakes pick four in New York, starting with the Stymie and a group of seven there. Jovia going to cut back after that unproductive trip to Oaklawn. Jovia tried the Razorback, chased the pace, and folded up shop. And so he'll go back to a one-turn mile in here, Jovia. You've got the Tom Fool. And Tom Fool, it's got a field of eight, and Sacco trying to sweep the early stakes. Mind Control in here will be your logical favorite, but there's a number of hard hitters that are involved in this grade three Tom Fool going three quarters. And boy, when it comes to rooting interests, very it gets tough at certain points, you know? Gary is considering this spot with Cecilia Mike, who's been in terrific form over the winter. Our friend Will Schwartz is running Wentz as well. And how about Samantha Siegel with Wonderful Light, the veteran six-year-old as well? So a lot of, I mean, nothing but fun connections. Aqueduct Mike Tenuso with the Flying P and Bon Raison in here as well. It fun field for the Tom Fool, the Busher, the three-year-old Phillies going a mile. Group of eight there as well. And I suppose the favorite's Lake Avenue pretty clearly, right? I mean, she's got to be. Just the first time I've actually looked at the specifics, and she should be a very clear and short favorite. And then the Gotham, which came up really, as we've been saying all week, just a kind of, I don't want to say a mishmash, but it's different because it's a three-year-old race and all, and yes, there's points for Derby, but it just seems like this field is all one-turn horses going forward. You don't really sense that these are Derby candidates, even though there's points involved. And of course, you know, somebody, I mean, I don't know, Mischievous Alex, John Service has already said that they really don't have Derby designs. But, you know, there are candidates here that are lightly raced, making, well, in the case of Eric Guillot, who loves his chances with Sisto, this is a Hertrickon Fielding Curlin that was a $250,000 two-year-old purchase. And Guillot, I happened to have texted him off that debut at the end of January. And Guillot, who's been kind of laying quietly, I think this is a good one. Sisto. Linda Rice, of course, has been gearing up. Montauk Traffic in this spot. We had talked to Dale Romans about attachment rate. Comes up from the Gulfstream maiden win that was plenty impressive. So there's a lot going on in here. It's a really interesting group. I mentioned Flapjack with Andy the other day, kind of tongue-in-cheek, because a previous Gotham winner was Slapjack. So Jack Sisterson, interesting spot to start the Oxbow Calumet homebred for his season. Cassie comes back with Untitled, the private purchase for Gary Barber and Michael Sebastian. It's a fun group of 11 in the Gotham. All stakes pick four, and I haven't even had a chance to look yet at what's going to be the cross country, you know, what's involved from here. And of course, Tampa and Oaklawn. So you would think that the cross country will be absolutely terrific. And Tampa, speaking of which, the Challenger and the Columbia, I think this is the first running of the Challenger as a graded stake, right? I think so. So the Columbia listed and mile on the turf. Big bulky field there. The Challenger. Group of eight, including the seasonal debut of the last horse to beat Maximum Security. King for a Day makes the return here for the Brunettis. Admiralty Pier, though, for Bruce Lunsford and the Hooley Racing Team and Barbara Lunsford, coming off the Tampa Bay win. Should be tough in there. The Hillsboro, the Phillies and Mares going a mile and an eighth on the grass. A lot of the usual suspects. Jehoshaphat back for Arno Delacour. Cassie with Hannah Leigh Moon. I told you we'd probably talk to Cassie Monday. Starship Jubilee, who's just a terror. What has she won? Six of her last seven? Five of her last six? Something like that? The Florida Oaks, of course, the rather curious scenario. Every year we talk about the three-year-old fillies. All of a sudden it goes from dirt to turf. And here are the three-year-old fillies going a mile and a 16th on the grass. This is a good, big, bulky field that seems pretty well matched. Trombetta brings back New York Groove, last seen winning the Glorious Song in her final start at 2 at Woodbine. Nacho Correas unveils a first-time North America. Michelin for Michael Stidham. That gets us to the Tampa Bay Derby, and there were some late maneuverings that went on. And that included Todd Pletcher subbing in Unrighteous for Palm Springs. Unrighteous, who's still a maiden, a violence colt that ran into Spa City. Speaking of Kieran McLaughlin. So this field ended up with a dozen, and Violent City was a late no-go for Ian Wilkes. But the Tampa Bay Derby, a lot of fun. Pletcher with Texas Swing, market analysis for Windstar and China Horse Club off the impressive 7/8 debut. And Unrighteous. Graham Motion jumped in at the quarter pole with Mr. Campbell's Bye Bye Melvin. It's going to be such a great day of racing from start to finish. And I haven't even talked about Oaklawn with the Honeybee and Whitmore going for his fourth straight win in the Hot Springs. How many horses, I mean, other than, you know, Kelso's Jockey Club Gold Cup run of five, how many horses have won four straight runnings of a race? That's your trivia assignment today. We're going to start out, though, paying tribute to Jerry Dilger, the entire Paddy community, particularly in the U.S., mourning his loss. Pat Costello starts us off back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Want an online tournament that boasts no rake, skim, or takeout with a $10,000 first prize? Here it is. Play ExpressBet Live online Saturday, March 21st. ExpressBet Live is for account holders only, with no registration or other pesky fees. Simply make a live $20 wager on one horse in 10 competition races. Earn the most and collect $10,000. Plus, there's from $1,000 to $4,000 in additional prizes. The top 30 finishers automatically qualify for the $50,000 ExpressBet Showdown. Sweep the card and earn a juicy $5,000 bonus. Don't have an ExpressBet account? Visit ExpressBet.com today and qualify for a $100 bonus. Then register free for ExpressBet Live, the best tournament value going. Play live online with ExpressBet Saturday, March 21st, and it could be your day, but only if you play. Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Public Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'm coming back. Ask your doctor. Check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.
Down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
When they kick at your front door, how are you gonna come? With your hands on your head or on the trigger of your gun? When the law break in, how are you gonna go? Shot down on the pavement or waiting in death row? You can crush us, you can bruise us, you have to answer to, whoa, the guns of Brixton. The money feels good, your life you like it well, but surely your time will come as in heaven as in hell.
We're back at the races. And yesterday, we were on the air with Sid Fernando when one of our listeners sent the report that Jerry Dilger had passed, and I had not heard about the heart attack, and so didn't know that he had been stricken. And so, like many others, I mean, obviously in and around Kentucky, there was some awareness, but still the fact that at age 61, Jerry Dilger is gone really has shaken up the legion of bloodstock staff that either worked with him, for him, were helped by him, were mentored by him, were encouraged by him. And if you have not seen the outpouring of affection and grief over Jerry Dilger, you know, certainly the Irish community in North America is devastated. And Pat Costello, nice enough to join us, one of his compatriots and partners and friends. And Pat, just so sorry about this.
Endeared by absolutely everybody here in Kentucky, in the Irish community, not alone in the Irish community, but in the horse community. All the guys in Fazeed and Keeneland are reeling as much as we are, and everybody. I've had more calls over the last, from all over the world, actually, the last few days. It's been tough.
You can just tell that you know, so many of the comments that the obituaries and the notices have included, Pat, First, acknowledging his craft and his expertise and his success, but then the kind of person he was and so many people that he encouraged in the business.
Oh, there's so many. Like he took over from Limerick College, the equine program over in Limerick University. He always had about three or four kids come over. And out of that, there's so many come future horse people. Paula Flannery in Ireland, Pinhooker, Leo Dooley is the assistant manager out of the Indian Creek. It goes on and on. The gold medal winner in the Irish National Stud. And it goes on and on. So many of them kids started and mentored under that on that farm, got experience on the farm and learned the right way to do things. And Jerry has taught so many people. And then Jerry was Jerry. Like, he was just, he was a different man. I mean, he was just a beautiful human being. Yeah.
You know, his background too, coming to North America after graduating from the Irish National Stud program, that had to be an experience that was central to how he was so encouraging to so many young people that then tried to do the same thing.
Oh yeah, we have a great Irish community here in Lexington, and Jerry is one of the starters over here himself, and myself, and Robbie Lyons, and David Mullins has passed away now, James Kehoe, and we all come over here with nothing in our pockets and just grinding hard work and everything and got it. And Jerry was the epitome of that. He has a beautiful farm, Drumolan Farm, and he pinups quite a few horses every year. He's lovely. He does quite well and breeds his own, as you know. And he's something else. He's one of the best.
When did you first? What was your first connection and dealing? And how did you two come together originally?
Well, I came over here in 84, and Jerry was then, I think he was working for the Murphy Brothers then. We would have, as I say, a great local Irish community. There was a man, he passed away, he was a great man, Michael Osborne. He ran Northridge Farm back then, and that's since divided into Hillendale and Don Alberto's. And Michael ran that, and he was kind of the father figure to all the Irish kids came over back then. And we had a little local Irish soccer team and met twice a week. And that's how it was the start of us all becoming close and friends. And we all have remained so since, you know. And then throughout the years, then Jerry went from there, I can't remember what year he started on his own Drumolan Farm. I think about 1994, it was that year. And that farm has grown from strength to strength, and as you know.
He had that special ability as a horseman that anybody on the bloodstock side, and of course, you know, horsemen that pick out stock and train themselves, you have to have the ability to look at a young horse and project what it's going to morph into. And that's a special gift. And what's interesting is that he could do it. You know, there's some that are great at looking at a yearling and projecting a two-year-old, or looking at a weanling and projecting a yearling. He could do it at all the various checkpoints, and it's obvious that, you know, that's what made him so successful at all the different kinds of pinhooking and development that he did, and then breeding as well on his own.
Oh, yeah, and the great thing about him, he had such confidence in himself of what he liked in a horse that he was he's as ballsy as they get when they come to buying that horse. If he wanted a horse, he was going to buy it, you know. And that's what made him great, and that's, you know, the confidence that he had in picking out them horses, and he was right a lot of the time, most of the time, you know, which is a unique quality in its own, you know.
Yeah, you look at the list of successes, and you know, I think about the Godfather line about, you know, making money for his partners. It seems like whoever he teamed up with, including you, there was success to be had, and two Derby winners in having a hand in Always Dreaming and Nyquist. There was that summer at Saratoga where Hot Dixie Chick and Dublin win the Spinaway and the Hopeful on closing weekend, the most, you know, sort of unsung, remarkable accomplishment for a horseman you could imagine with two-year-olds. I mean, talk about some of the horses that you Mike Ryan and you know, all the fun you guys had putting together.
Yeah, well, we all do a bit of pin hooking and breed our own as well. And Nyquist, he was in my consignment in Paramount at as a weanling with his mother. And I have three or four partners that I partner up with on my weanlings, and Jerry is the same on his deal. And Ted Campion and myself kind of, we zoomed in, we liked the shape of this colt, and Jerry came along. We kind of happened to meet while we were all looking at the horse, and that's how that kind of partnership developed in buying that colt, you know. And it's great to see that well, as you say, the kind of vision that you would hope that the horse would turn out as a racehorse, because that's what we all want anyway, to be picking out racehorses, you know, not just beauty. And that worked out well, yeah. And every year we try to, if we seem to land on the same kind of horses, we'll either couple up together or you know, that's it. We're all best of friends in this business. It's an awful close community. His family or our family, you know, all the Irish community are one big family here. So this is all such a shock to us all.
You know, and it's funny. It's going to be for people that are fans of the game and horse players and people that are sort of on the periphery and aren't necessarily heavily vested in the game. It'll be new to them that that there's such a tight knit community. But I'll give you a perfect example, Pat. I'm sending a mare to Kentucky to get covered, and needed a forwarding farm, and ended up being introduced to Jim Maloney. And it just so happened I was going to be texting him about the mare, you know, the filly getting there and so forth. And I wrote to him. I said, I'm going to assume that condolences are due, that you were, you know, acquainted with Jerry Dilger. And he right away opened up and said, oh my gosh, thank you. And going to be mixed, you know, how badly he'll be missed. And it's just amazing. Yeah. Anybody you think of, you know, that's come from Ireland, clearly had a relationship with him.
Oh, like, Leslie Campion works for me. He said this morning, Jerry fit as much fun into one year as many a person in their lifetime. He was just such, he had, people loved him so much. He's going to be so, sorely missed. Yeah. Jim's wife, Elizabeth, is a partner with us in Paramount, actually, too. Yeah. So it is a real tight community. And,
how about that?
I know we're all reeling here, but as well, we have as many American friends here as we have Irish, and they are all reeling as well. It's uncanny how the support that we have gotten here in the last few days. It's amazing.
Well, the sympathies, of course, to his wife, Erin, and their children. And I thought immediately of his nephew, Michael Dilger, who I'm not sure what Michael's up to right now, but, you know, himself. And I think Michael trained a couple of horses for Jerry.
He did. Michael is in Louisville, I believe, right now. He's obviously very saddened, and Jerry was a mentor to him as well, you know. Jerry was a mentor to everyone, you know. He was just an example of horsemanship, of humanship, of how to behave yourself, you know, because he just, everybody loved him, you know. And it shows here the last few days.
Well, it here we are also, Pat, on the brink of the start of the 2-year-old in training sale season, and it'll be just an obvious, you know, emptiness around the consignments and around the sales grounds. I'm headed to OBS March for a few days of broadcasting, and I mean, it'll his absence will be immediately felt.
No, it will. It will, without a doubt. Yeah, we're getting calls, as I said, from all over the world, and we're a community, and all the Florida guys as well, you know. They were all, Jerry was friends to all of them, you know. As I said, from kings to paupers, doesn't matter who you were. Jerry knew you, and he liked you, he was your friend, you know. That's the way he was, and he wasn't one for fine wining and dining. He was true to himself, and he was true to what Jerry was, which everybody loved and appreciated.
Well, the tributes will continue to come in, and we'll, as soon as there's details about arrangements, we'll pass those along. And Pat, I feel terrible that this is the opportunity to have you visit on the show. I've owed you a visit about the business for a while. And
no worries. Jerry was one of my best friends, and any time I can say anything good about the man, I'm going to. He's a beautiful man.
Pat Costello, everybody, Paramount Sales, and one of the countless friends and associates of Jerry Dilger. Just taken, obviously, at 61, just way, way, way too young. Pat, again, for horse players and those that wouldn't have as direct a connection, deepest sympathies.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Not at all. Pat Costello, everybody. And I've reached out to Michael as well, and when Michael's up to it, we'd love for him to come and talk about his uncle. Just you can just tell. Everybody reading the comments and the tweets and quotes in the obits are going to be struck by just the outpouring. Back in Ireland, the passing as well of Joe Crowley, who's tied to generations of horses and the families of Irish breeding and racing. He was a trainer himself and a breeder, and I think Aidan O'Brien, I think a son-in-law, right? Is that right? So, very tough. We'll take a break and we'll lift the spirits and talk about the racing. This weekend, we've got Super Saturday at Maidan to talk about with Dick Powell and, of course, HKJC, Hong Kong Jockey Club action as well. And since Dick was heavily involved with the origins of that Saughty Cup, I want to ask Dick to weigh in on the Stuart Clown Show that has transpired. Back after this, Dick Powell. Also ahead, Michael Huey is going to join us, the very successful owner who has, in association with John Ortiz and Mike Maker, has just scored out repeatedly with high-priced claims. He's really struck on a formula, Michael Huey, today. Steve Haskin, Rich Eng, and more. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice
choices sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. Going to shift gears out to the international competition, both the past week and coming up over the next several days. It's going to be Super Saturday, the big preview card for Dubai World Cup night. This comes Saturday evening. And then, of course, Hong Kong Jockey Club. Saturday into Sunday morning, if you're looking for, I'm going to guess, let's see, 12. I'm going to guess about 20, almost 24 straight hours of action, potentially, right? Dick Powell joins us. Good morning.
Just goes on and on and on.
Right? Is that the, it should
fine
be, right?
Me. Yeah.
You don't mind, huh?
My body clock starts shutting down around 10:30 at night, so they could be running the Kentucky Derby at midnight. And I'm not going to
be all right. There you go.
Although I will say, curb your enthusiasm keeps me awake till 11 o'clock.
There you go.
Season just it's been spectacular. Oh my God!
There's been some very funny moments. There's no doubt.
Oh, so that's been good. And racing gets started early and goes late. Lots of good stuff going on.
Before we talk about the weekend action, Chatin and Maidan, let's go back to this past weekend. Not so much we'll do the Hong Kong stuff together, but your view of the Saudi action, having been involved on the front end, Dick, in the planning stages several years ago. How did it come off in your view, and what do you make of the subsequent brouhahas?
I thought the racing was terrific. I thought the cards that were assembled were terrific. There were a lot of things that could have been solved with a phone call. For instance, if you saw the feed that we got before Fox Sports came on, it had the wrong distances on, like constantly on the screen. Just a lot of things that if I'm involved, I'm making a phone call and it's taken care of. So a lot of logistical things went awry. I think part of that is contracting with the Brits to do things, and the Brits are not over here. They're not paying attention. They just sell the signal to ADWs, and then they move on. So a lot of things for the end user were not what it should be. Some of the camera work was almost motion sickness. And once again, if you go back to Dubai, Dubai used to show their races a certain way. Then when everything got turned over to SIS and these other companies, then they went back to the head-on, and I don't mind the head-on as just something to switch to, but when you stay with the head-on for furlong after furlong, and you just can't see, and Richard Hoyle's the track announcer is as good as there is, and he kept pointing out, you know, black cap, red sleeves, you know, just trying to help identify horses. That makes it very hard, because not only do you lose a sense of who's in front of us, is the fifth horse ahead of the eighth horse, but where on the track are they? So that I don't like, and hopefully that can be addressed. A lot of things that, as an insider, you look at and see could have been done better, should have been done better. And then you get to the race, and the Saudi Cup was terrific. I knew Capizano and North America were going to out-sprint them early, and they did. Then the Americans started moving up and taking command, and then you had the nonsense in the stretch with IRAD going out, you know, 10 paths off the rail. Louis, thank God, didn't wait, you know, before he got carried, you know, to the outer rail. He ducked in and did it quick enough to hold off Midnight Bisou, so I was happy that Louis got the win. It's well-deserved on his part. And then the stewards' decisions came down. Now, I've met Phil Tuck, who's the stipendary steward. No nonsense, straight shooter. If he says they met with the jocks on Friday and Saturday, if he says they sent emails out describing what the rules were and what the penalties were, then I have to take him at his word. So if you know going into that race, you're going to get this massive penalty. If you violate the rules, well, then you decided to throw the rules aside and just try to win the race. I do not see it as outsiders coming in and getting put in their place. Because I've seen Hugh Bowman get a 43-day suspension in the Melbourne Cup, Australia's leading rider. I've seen Frankie Dettori win a race at Ascot, which he had no business winning. He beat So You Think, it was either the Prince of Wales, and whipped his Godolphin horse 20-something times in the stretch. He won the race by a nose. He got a 20-something day suspension, but he won the race, and that seemed to be the bigger goal. $20 million is on the line. People are kind of pulling out all the stops. And I think either there was just forgetting what the actual penalties were, or just saying, you know, win the $20 million race and deal with it later, without understanding that the penalties, including a percentage of the purse, which obviously we've never had percentages of purses like that until Saturday. So I just think, Steve, you got rules, the rules are conveyed, the rules are explained. It's now up to you to follow the rules.
Which is understandable, and I get part of that. At the same time, I thought I thought Mike's point about the, you know, the video Jeep, and its proximity to the inner rail, I thought that was a point well taken. As his horse is trying to rally up the inside of the, you know, on the fence, and you know, 14 times total versus 10, and so 210,000 is a appropriate fine for, you know, for losing track of 10, you know, 10 swats. I just, the whole thing to me is a little idiotic. And then how about the 2 days that they heap on after he was instructed to go in the wrong direction to weigh out?
That, as it's been explained to me, that people were there was chaotic, that they weigh out at a certain place. It's outside. It's not, you know, on your way into the jock's room. And it's very visible. The weight is displayed. And he had to rush for the next race, and instead of having security people to take each and take them over to the weigh-out station and then take them back into the jock's room through the crowd, they hadn't done that, and Mike got caught up. And, you know, I think that's certainly something he should appeal and argue and fight against and whatever it might be. If you're going to say 10, if you're going to say 20, if you're going to say 2, you don't want to come near the 10 or the 20 or the 2 knowing what's at stake. So I know jocks can't be sitting there counting all the whips, but at the same time, if that's the rule, then maybe the other riders all do that, and they're not getting fined and suspended. Is it a big issue for our riders? Yeah, because we're not used to those rules. But there are rules that are in place virtually around the world. And I mean, one of the big rules is when you keep hitting a horse that's not responding. That's a big no-no, and that's, you know, that you see everywhere. And that's a visual that we don't need in racing. And you know, we could argue that all day, but just I can't drum it up much sympathy, knowing that it had been explained and before, during, and after, and just, you know. You get in the heat of battle and you're doing whatever. And his point with the, you know, the Jeep on the inside, that's a very good point. And if he has a form to contest that, he should. I don't know what forms are available, but they do have, I mean, I know the stewards do have appeals and stuff. Now, this is an extraordinary case where the riders come in and now they fly back halfway around the world, so they're not necessarily there for a hearing a couple of days later, video, whatever you would do in a hearing. So I'm not sure what the procedure is, the policy, anything else like that.
Well, we've got a couple of exiters that will head to Maidan, and a couple of the top, you know, top pair, they're going to come home and work toward the Breeders' Cup assignments at the end of the year. And let's turn our attention to those kinds of things. And let's go to Dubai first, and then we'll round out with Hong Kong. And Super Saturday, always a fun card, and always a good preview and an important set of preview results to consider when we get down to the end of the month and to World Cup night. And the action starts, let me get the timing right, 4:35 is the first of the races. That's with the Mahab Al Shimal, and then continues on with the Burj Nahar and all the rest of the, you know, the Nad Al Sheba Turf Sprint, the third stage of the Maktoum Challenge, the Jebel Hatta, and the Dubai City of Gold. Very nice six races. Doug O'Neill heavily involved on the card as well as his interesting winter over there continues.
Well, what was interesting was how many Dubai horses went for the Saudi Cup and the undercard. And a lot of them would have been on Super Saturday, North America, Capizano definitely. Ben Battle, who had a run on the dirt previously, probably would have come back in the Maktoum Challenge. So they all raced in Saudi, and there were a number of lesser-type turf horses that also raced in Saudi. So the Maktoum Challenge, which is race six, seems to have taken the worst of it in terms of losing some of their marquee stars. So that race drew eight. We have American horse Quip is in there now for Doug Watson. And one nice thing that'll make everyone happy is because these races are weight-for-age races where there's no real issues as far as handicaps or anything else, the one horse is in the one pole and the three horse is in the three post position. You don't have that confusion that you have in other races. So, and one thing, back to the Saudi Cup. If we're going to sit around and preach globalization, can we actually generate accurate past performances? I mean, it was embarrassing that Acrobase put out a file that had Magic Wand running second in Hong Kong in December and then showing up on January 7th in Singapore for a $75,000 handicap race. Now, obviously, it wasn't her, but, I mean, no breeder information in the past performances. I mean, just these American horses, how do you not have that for at least those horses? So just, and I heard Andy make a comment on Tuesday, and he's right. The races are over, and then that's it. You might get prices from your ADW outlet as far as, you know, all the parimutuel payouts, but there's no chart or anything. I mean, do you remember when I used to do charts for Dubai racing?
Sure, absolutely.
And that was a lot of work, but no one had ever done that before, especially having a final odds in the charts. And that's all when the Brits took over the complete dissemination of Dubai racing. That was the end of that. And they're seemingly running Saudi racing, and just a lot of things. They don't seem to understand that the international market sometimes demands more than what they're used to having in the Racing Post. A little editorial comment there.
as we look ahead to Saturday, I do see that, and I didn't mention it off the top regarding Maidan on Saturday. No spectators. They will not let anything other than essential personnel be in attendance as restrictions continue in defense of Corona.
And their proximity to Iran, which is being more and more information's coming out about how many Iranians have this and how many Iranians have traveled with this.
There's probably more information about it from Iran than there is from the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's that makes sense, and you're going to see major soccer games without spectators. And if you go back years ago, Siena College played, I think it was a MAC championship final with no spectators, with, I don't know if it was chicken pox or something less deadly than this, but yeah, that's affecting a lot of events, and sporting events are right up at the top because they gather so many people, bring so many people in contact with each other, so... Yeah, that's a wild one.
Hmm. Well, and
before we go to Hong Kong,
yeah.
I want to go back to something Andy said also on Tuesday.
Yeah.
He was talking about those charts he has.
How great is that? Yeah.
And one of the things that came up, and I remember this because I was there, but not many people remember this. You used to go to Aqueduct in July. That after the Belmont Stakes meet was over, racing, I'm not sure if it was 4 weeks or 6 weeks, but racing in New York went to Aqueduct. And it was actually a very pleasant time to be at Aqueduct because Aqueduct gets a little bit of a breeze off of Jamaica Bay. And out behind, I mean, it's all gone now. There was like a little park area. I mean, nothing like Belmont, but there was an area outside the grandstand that had green grass, and you could be outside. You could be out on the apron, but in July, you know, being out on blacktop, not the greatest place to be. But they drew big crowds, and it was I enjoyed going out there in July, and that's been I picked up Champions because I was looking up something else. And I see where, who did I find? Personality. You know, Hirsch Jacobs' horse. Raced on July 24th, 1970, at Aqueduct. So that was interesting to go back and understand how, you know, the New York schedule wasn't like it was now. And they used to move quite a bit, which was... You know, to go from Aqueduct to Belmont, not that big a move, but they moved quite a bit. And in answer to your question about Whitmore, going for what, his fifth straight Hot Springs
fourth.
Or fourth straight?
Fourth.
Okay. Well, the easy one is Forgo.
Well, yeah. Okay.
What makes Forgo interesting is he won it twice at Weight for Age going a mile and a half, and then he won it as a handicap at a mile and an eighth, carrying 133 and 135 pounds. So he won it 74, 75, 76, 77. The 76, 77 were under, you know, handicap conditions where he's not only carrying high weight, but giving lots of weight to the others. So he won four Woodwoods. Winks obviously won four Cox Plates in Australia.
Right.
And Yates won four straight Ascot Gold Cups. Going 2.25 miles. Those were the four that
came to mind.
Jumped to my head.
The Forgo one is good. That one I did not immediately think of that. And that, you know, it's funny, that accomplishment is not nearly, for whatever reason, isn't as heralded as Kelso's Gold Cups. I don't know why.
Yeah, coming the Kelso Gold Cups, as great as they were, it was the same distance. I'm pretty sure they were weight for age. They weren't handicaps. Like, Forgo's last two were handicaps. And two of them were mile and a half, two of them were mile and eighth. And going to mile eight, spotting that kind of weight. I mean, at one time, I know he ran 45 and 4. And he didn't even like the track. The sloppy track that he just, you know, persevered over. But, yeah, anyone winning four of anything, you know, in a row is fantastic. No matter what the race, no matter what the conditions. But it's more likely to have happened in the past than happened now. So it's nice to see Whitmore still around and still winning big races for himself.
It's amazing. And I haven't handicapped thoroughly at all, but I won't be surprised. In fact, there is that Share the Upside coming off the King Cotton. Share the Upside runs back to that race. It'll be very tough, but and you got Mr. Jägermeister too for Valerie Lund, who seems to always have one really nice horse. It's amazing, and actually he's a nice hard hitter too. He's 11 for 21 career, and has been running, you know, 90 buyers for, you know, 2-3+ years. So it's a fun addition of the Hot Springs, which leads into the Honeybee. It's a great Saturday racing domestically and internationally. Let's get the Hong Kong stuff together before I welcome in Michael Wei to talk about all the success he's having, including most notably Zulu Alpha. HKJC, Dick.
Well, the big story was last Sunday, Matthew Poon bringing home an $84 win.
It's unbelievable. Just, it's amazing.
It's almost like not newsworthy anymore. So many times, still showing a gigantic ROI, positive ROI, double positive ROI, with 260 mounts. I mean, there's nothing flukish at all about it. So Poon wins another one, and it was a good race. It wasn't one of these really cheap races. There was no Foreman. Marrero still is the leader. He was suspended for, he missed some time. He has 82. Zach Purton is 75. So that's tightened up a little bit. The trainers are still tied with Ricky Yu and Francis Loy, 41 and 40. This coming Saturday, 11 races. Now, this is a little confusing. They're going to start at 11 p.m. Saturday night, not the 11:15 we've been having. They were supposed to add an 11th race for a prep race for Ethero, who is the big three-year-old sprinter who's going to go on to Dubai, and this was going to be like a Class 1 sprint for him and to act as a prep. Well, either the race didn't fill or I don't know what happened. I searched the South China Morning Post this morning, but that race, he's not in the race. So they have 11 races. They did fill it with something else. They have some really nice horses running in those races, but early post time, 11 o'clock Eastern time, 8 o'clock West Coast time for you to watch Sha Tin this Saturday, and then the following Wednesday they'll be back at Happy Valley. We kicked off last week with a nice winner in the opener, paid $7.80. We're going to try to do it again this week with race number one. Number three, Spirit Patch. He'd been racing in Class 4. Now he drops to Class 5. His form is not that bad, but now he's in against much weaker horses. Now, usually at that point, yeah, you have to carry the high weight, but he gets in with Alfred Chan, who is a 7-pound apprentice now. Other than Post 11, which I think he can negotiate with his tactical speed, I think Spirit Patch has just dropped into a winning situation here for Man for Man, who takes over training here from Paul Sullivan. So race one, number three, Spirit Patch. The next race, we have a Class 4 going 1,200 meters. I like number 10, Excel Delight. This is John Tsai.
Did we lose Dick? Yeah, I think we lost Dick. Yeah, there's the dial tone. All right. Quickly, Deja, if you could get Dick back.
And the only other horse.
Oh, there he is.
Race four, number four. Thanks Forever is one of the better four-year-olds over there in Hong Kong. He takes on older horses and a 1,200-meter sprint. He's very good and very talented. So race four, number four. Thanks Forever.
Very good.
And that'll
No, we, Dick, you there?
Yes.
All right. I don't know what's gone on here. We got very tinny on us. What do we have else? What else?
The Gotham Tampa Bay Derby, and we'll be doing the San Felipe for Twin Spires blog. So that's available free of charge to anyone who wants to look at
it.
The two should be up, and the San Felipe will be up in a little while. And I really like Authentic. I think of all of Baffert's horses, he's the one who intrigues me the most because he just seems to have the biggest upside. He raced very greenly in the Sham. He was almost bored in the lead. He's just like, what do I do now? Do I jump over the rail? Do I duck out? And then I watched the work on Monday when he worked 6 furlongs, and he just did it as a consummate pro. So hopefully they can get his head straightened out. Maybe some competition will help. And he is a terrific three-year-old that certainly bears watching. Not crazy about the pedigree, going classic distances into mischief out of a sprinting-type mare, but you know, pedigree don't seem to be what it used to be as far as the Kentucky Derby goes, so I kind of have to get over that prejudice.
Well, it's gonna take some sorting out by the time we get through the Arkansas Derby. The ranking of the Baffert players will be very interesting because it's a shape shifting scenario right now, week to week,
yes.
and we'll see, of course, with Nadal. You know, heading to Arkansas, and the focus easy to make the Baffert barn the focus, and then feather in you know, the regional players from there. But it's coming together. Saturday should be great. It's so strange to look at that Gotham field and think, okay, these are, boy, what a great Alan Jerkins we're going to have in August. As opposed to some of like the Vijacks of the world and the I Want Revenges over the years, you know, that pass through, it's just so clear that these are middle distance and elongated sprint runners. It's kind of cool, actually, in that regard. I mean, there's going to be way more Woody Stevens participants out of this race than Derby prep. So, Dick, I will look for the and I will tweet out to everybody your analysis column out of the Twin Spires blog, and it should be a great. Great weekend. People looking for action can go deep into the night from Saturday into Sunday morning with Maidan and Hong Kong and everything else. So thanks a lot.
Okay. Thanks, Steve.
Dick Powell, everybody. Let's take a break. We'll come back and got a visit coming with Michael Hoyt. And we're going to talk about Zulu Alpha, obviously, but not just Zulu Alpha, because Michael's success claiming horses for 62,500, 75,000, 80,000. Hoagie, one of our favorites. You get Hoagie and so many others. It's uncanny. And he's really focused in on that program of acquisition, of stock acquisition, you know, rather than rolling the dice with yearlings and two-year-olds, etc. Now he has sent me the picture of an adorable foal that the family just saw hit the ground in the last couple of days. They've got a Justify colt out of Nina Fever. I'm going to send that on the internet. The internet's going to everybody's heads are going to explode. How cute this colt is. Michael Hoyt joins us from Arkansas next at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Want an online tournament that boasts no rake, skim, or takeout with a $10,000 first prize? Here it is. Play ExpressBet Live online Saturday, March 21st. ExpressBet Live is for account holders only with no registration or other pesky fees. Simply make a live $20 wager on one horse in 10 competition races. Earn the most and collect $10,000. Plus, there's from $1,000 to $4,000 in additional prizes. The top 30 finishers automatically qualify for the $50,000 ExpressBet Showdown. Sweep the card and earn a juicy $5,000 bonus. Don't have an ExpressBet account? Visit ExpressBet.com today and qualify for a $100 bonus. Then register free for ExpressBet Live, the best tournament value going. Play live online with ExpressBet Saturday, March 21st, and it could be your day, but only if you play. Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Public Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.
To At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, 15 minutes into hour two. Been looking forward to this visit for the last, I don't know, two, 3 years at least, because Michael Hoy has had a string of success with Mike Maker and John Ortiz, and has really struck on a formula that I think prospective owners and existing owners need to hear about. High-priced claims, 62.5, 75,000, 80,000, etc., and you know, basically taking a lot of the, you know, the rolling of the dice part out of the equation in terms of, you know, buying a ready-made mid-career runner. And of course, Zulu Alpha, the one in the spotlight right now, but there's any number of them that have been part of the story, including personal favorite Hoagie and Green Grass of Wyoming and more.